Hey, for the next few moments, I want to share a message with you. It's called Walk in the Spirit, and we get all of that inspired to us by what Paul wrote to the Galatians in the fifth chapter of his book in the New Testament, Galatians 5. If you want to turn there, we'll be there in just a second. But I know that we have a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and we should in this church. There's a great reason why we have a Holy Spirit conference. And matter of fact, I'd just like to let you know that in August, we're going to have another Holy Spirit conference. It's unique. We'll talk to you about it later, tell you about all of that's going on. But it's going to be a fabulous conference again. It's not a repeat. It's going to be totally different, and I'm excited about, you know, what's going to happen there. But when you begin to think about the Holy Spirit, a lot of times the question is exactly not only who He is and what He does. We know He's the third person of the Trinity. We know it's a He, not a it. We know that He guides us. He helps us with our lives. He answers questions. He's our counselor. He's our help. God said that I'll send Him back so that you can have power. There's a lot of those things that we know as checkoff list of knowledge about the Holy Spirit. But when you say the word walk, that's an action. It's not standing. It's not just knowing only, but it is walking through this thing. You know, there's a lot of things we can learn in life, but until they're applied, they're just knowledge. They're just things that we know. We can maybe pass a test on it. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I think the thing that the church sometimes is a little guilty of is knowing a lot about the Holy Spirit, but not actually inviting Him into their life and applying what He will do in their life. And I understand that's it's something that maybe we don't feel extremely comfortable with, but at the same time, we're doing it all the time, whether we know it or not. The minute you add Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit becomes a part of the process. In the times that you needed help, the Holy Spirit's there to prompt you. The time that you needed, you know, to know what to say, the Holy Spirit's there, been there to help you. And it's amazing the role that He plays in our life. But I remember one time, Trey Hancock is a great friend of mine. He's also a nationally appointed home missionary to Michigan. Many of you have met him. He's been in our church before. We were driving to this FCA event at this church, and Trey was driving, so I took a little nap, and I woke up, and I said, dude, how are we doing? He goes, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He goes, we're lost. I said, we're lost? Yeah. He said, but we're making great time. I go, dude, that doesn't make any sense at all. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, because we don't exactly know exactly the role, or we're not really exactly comfortable, we don't know how to put Him into our life and apply it. I think that's how we feel. We're going somewhere. We just don't know where we're going, but we're making great time. Well, it would be a lot better if we knew exactly where we were and we were on pace with what the Holy Spirit's wanting to do. Don't you agree? I brought my umbrella today because I think the Holy Spirit is a lot like this, in that when it's raining, we pull out this umbrella because we need it. I realize it's unlucky to open an umbrella indoors, but that's only if you're superstitious. Okay, so judge yourself, all right? This is a sermon illustration only. But I'm serious, you know, it's when something happens. We have a tragedy. We don't know what to do. We pop the Holy Spirit out and expect them to help us in that context. By the way, if you're getting your phones out, just quit it, all right? Quit it. But here's the deal. You know, that's exactly what I think we do with them. And, you know, God says, listen, the Holy Spirit has some... Oh, no, now I don't know where I am in my sermons right now. Holy Spirit, help me. No telling when we're going to get out now. But it's so cool because, you know, I unfortunately, I think that wouldn't you be offended if the only time you got a call from a friend was when they needed help? How many of you own a truck? Yeah, you don't want to admit it because somebody's going to call you and ask you to move them. That's the problem right there. The only time you get your friends is when they need to move. And, hey, bring the truck, by the way. Well, nobody wants to be used like that. Well, can I just tell you, Holy Spirit's not offended. He's grieved. He goes beyond offense into grieving when we just put Him away in the trunk or the glove compartment until we need Him for a rainy day. And that's not His function whatsoever. Let me take you to the comments of Pastor Harry Poole. He said, there was a time when men worked 12-hour days, 6 days a week, and still had time to be neighborly, to go to church and actually live a life. Few people went beyond the borders of their own county, some not even outside their own township. There were no radios, no TV, usually only the county paper once a week. Montgomery Ward and Sears Roebuck catalogs furnished most of the reading material. People traveled in horse-drawn vehicles or horseback or on foot. Now, we're talking a long time ago. But he says, They were not too hurried in those days, always had time to visit. Small schoolhouse and the church were the focal points of the community. People had time to think and to pray, read the Bible, go to church. Now we have a 40-hour work week. Travel in cars, we have our telephones, radios, TV sets, books, magazines, newspapers, and the internet, and more. We have gadgets and gimmicks for easy living and have less time than ever before. We go, 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 and having gone, we find ourselves worn out and restless. This leisure time provided for a 40-hour work week is squandered in endless going and overindulgent living. It just doesn't make any sense. The church is caught in the middle of this whirlwind, feverish restlessness. A 60-minute service is too long. Two services on the Lord's Day is too much. The midweek service is almost an impossibility. We rush madly from one meeting to the next and haven't the time to read the Bible or to talk to God. And then he finishes it by saying this. He said, we want all of the fun at the expense of the fundamentals. Can I just tell you that if you're doing life without the Holy Spirit, regardless of what you've got in your life to help your life be more progressive and more productive, there's a big gap missing there. Huge gap. And the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is that we have a relationship with Him. We don't have an agreement. It's not a contract. You know what Chris and Amy are trying to do over there is build relationships. And that's why it didn't happen overnight. And that's why right now it's less than 200. But with the right relationships and multiplying that thing, it can be an explosion in that city. And that's why our hearts go out to that. Let me take you to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. I say then, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another, so that you do not have the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Are you ready for this list? Old-timers love this list. Now, I'm sorry. I am one of those. I are an old-timer. But here's the list. Are you ready? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. He doesn't even complete the list. He just says, and the like. Of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now look at the contrast in this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I go from one list to nothing but just anger and backbiting and bloodshedding and all of this horrible indifference and contention to this incredible picture of just a wonderful existence. He says, against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And he repeats once again, if we live in the Spirit, let us also, like he said at the first of this scripture, walk in the Spirit. So, hey, you know what? Today, I just want to encourage you. I want to tell you that the Spirit isn't inactive. The Spirit's not on the sideline. He's not on the bench waiting for His number to be called. I mean, He's right there. He's ready to go. He's got everything that you need to be successful. He's got everything that you want to be happy. And that's why we need to engage Him in our life, but also walk in the Spirit and not just hang on to Him as a reference. We're more than human beings. You know what the Bible tells us? We're spiritual beings, with body, soul, and spirit. And as such, we should be spiritually controlled. There seems to be this spiritual element that guides us and leads us. Too often we become just structured by experience or education or the things like that, and we only do what we know to do instead of letting the Holy Spirit, who knows all things, guide us through these things and correct our lives. I know that everybody's busy, just like the context of this thing that Pastor Poole said, but there should be a difference about us. Something should be different in us between everybody else. That's not that we're supposed to be more special. It is certainly not a holier-than-thou attitude. But there just needs to be something different. When we walk in the room, when we spend time with somebody, when you have a cup of coffee with them, it's your break time or you're at school, whatever, there should be something that says, you're just different. Not strange, not weird, but something different. Obviously something that we have that only the Spirit can produce. This isn't about some special singing ability. This isn't about what you have. This isn't about some gift or ability or talent. This isn't about your experience. This is about something that only the Spirit can produce. And guess what? He can only communicate it as well. Listen, in Galatians, Paul describes this walk in the Spirit. Let me just share just three concepts of this thing real quick, okay? Number one, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, there is going to be conflict. Yeah, I'm so glad you guys are here today because I just get to use you as examples. Yeah. I mean, they're walking in the Spirit, and what if they experience conflict? You know, the cool thing about what Chris and Amy are saying is they're not glazing over the reality that conflict exists, that it's hard and it's difficult. And you know what? I mean, they would love to be here and just live in Oklahoma around her parents and his mom and their kids. And you know, today, isn't it cool? You don't know the whole story, but I even saw the picture that these cousins are together and they just want to be together. Hey, this wasn't about he doesn't want to hear you. You're his idol. Aren't you? I was waiting for you to confirm. Yeah. I mean, but they just want to be without the cousins. Isn't it cool? We would all want to do that. But conflict is going to exist. If we're going to follow the Lord, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, guess what? You're going to have some problems. Let me just remind you, and we preached about this not too long ago, Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side, men, and they met a storm. I think that would a conflict. That's a little bit of conflict there. I just want smooth sailing with Jesus in my boat. The Bible says he was asleep, for crying out loud. He was having a good time. The disciples weren't. Amazing how this goes. Now listen, verse 16 says this. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Can I tell you, this is a conflict. This is a problem. These are two powers that have come together, and they both want to win. He says, and those who are contrary to one another say that they do not do the things that they wish. There's that part of us that wants to do right, but there's our flesh that's just sticks his ugly head up and says, no, I want my way. And there's a better word for this than conflict. Conflict is a little, you know, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I like to avoid conflict at all costs. I really don't want to have an argument or discontent, indifference or anything. But really what he's talking about here is a war. This is a war. If you want to talk about spiritual warfare, it doesn't have to be demons crawling out of the closet. It doesn't have to be horrible things. It has to be just realizing most of that war happens right there within our own lives. And this is a conflict, and a conflict in the context of like a war, regardless of how much we want to avoid that. I know you want me to get off this subject, but everybody here would like for me to talk about somebody else because we all have that conflict. We all have that conflict. My spirit wants to do this, my flesh wants to do that, and we've minimized it to where these two things in the world for years has characterized this by an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other. As if they share this space here. They have influence. Can I just tell you, what we need to do is just lean over to what God said. Listen to this one man. He said, he was talking to the Lord one morning. He said, so far today, Lord, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. And I'm thankful for that. But in a few moments, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a whole lot of help. I mean, I think all of us there. I mean, Sunday mornings, that's the prayer that we pray. Oh, God, help me just get clothes on them and get to church so I can hand them off to somebody else. Sometimes you feel the war and sometimes you don't. But it never goes away. I'm not trying to put a wet blanket on the fact that when we walk in the Spirit, God is with us. But the context of all that is that he's going to walk us through this conflict. But if you like it or not, there's still going to be a war. Let me take you to Romans, the 7th chapter. There's this description, and I love it in the Living, the New International Version, the way that Paul says this. This is the war. He says, man, there's this thing that I want to do. This is the very thing I want to do. It's the right thing. It's the whole thing. Everybody would clap for me doing this. But the very thing that I don't want to do, I end up doing it. I'm over here. You ever been there? You know good and well you should keep your mouth shut. You know good and well you should do the right thing. Just don't talk if you're not going to. Because your mama said, you can't say anything good. Don't say anything at all. Next thing you know, you're giving your opinion. Really? You call that an opinion? That makes us feel better. We're now participating in a poll. No, we're gossiping. We're berating somebody. We're slandering somebody. We're borderline just really doing some nasty stuff. And that's what he says. He said, the very thing I should be doing, I'm not doing. I'm over here doing this knucklehead thing. And all. And he says, oh, the war. And Paul talks about it. We think it's as if we have this dark side in our life. But we don't have a dark side. You know, we have a sin side. There's part of us that wants to sin. It's called the flesh. And the other part of us is the spirit. There will be a war. And you can win the war by simply doing this. Easier said than done. You just have to feed the spirit instead of the flesh. Now, I used to do this with kids. It was really cool. I'd put them in these oversized sweatshirts. And I had these balloons. And I would tell them, you know what? Your flesh gets out of control when, and I would pick up a balloon. It says, tell a lie. And I would stuff it up underneath there, you know. And I would say, you know what? When you make fun of somebody and I'd stuff it. And next thing you know, I got this kid, you know, and they just looked like this muscle man with these weird looking muscles everywhere. And I said, but you know what? I said, look at the spirit, man. I'd get the smallest kid I could. And this sweatshirt's just hanging all over him. And then I would start popping these balloons, and I'd get other balloons, say good things about people, and start puffing up under this thing. Next thing you know, little guy over here, he may be bigger than him, but now he's just all deflated. And this guy is just all puffed up. And I said, no, run around, dude. He's running around like this. It was funny, okay? It was really cool, you know? Guy's running around. Even though that sounds ridiculous and almost animated, that's exactly what we have to do. It's not about just saying no to this. We've got to tell our flesh, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off, no more cupcakes. You know, you're it. Matter of fact, I'm not feeding you anything. And start feeding the spirit. But what we do, we're great at going, I feel bad, I shouldn't do this. I'm going to do my best not to do this ever anymore. But we don't walk in the spirit. Because when you walk in the spirit, there's a couple things happen. You are feeding the spirit, but you're also exercising the spirit. You see, a lot of times we don't walk in the spirit because we've never exercised that gift. We've never walked in that. So we haven't gained any muscles. I know this makes a lot of sense, but the application part is where we're going. The next thing has happened, and this is a very strong word, but there needs to be a death. Paul tells us this conflict is going to take us to a point, something's got to die. Either the flesh or the spirit. You see, what we want to do is we want to back off the flesh and be good for a little bit. And you know what? After we've been good for a while, we relax a little bit, and we give ourselves permission to be a little fleshy. Isn't that amazing how we do that? We go, you know, it's like when you're at work. If you work real, real hard, you go, I can take an extra break. I mean, I've been busting it today. Well, that doesn't make you a good worker. It makes you a lazy worker. You have now just compromised the integrity of who you are as a worker. We can't play games with the spirit and the flesh. One of them has to die. That's all there is to it. Let me take you to where Paul said in the 24th chapter. He says, and those who are in Christ have crucified. And I don't want to paint the big picture, but let me remind you, crucifixion was not a cool deal. Jesus died on the cross. They have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. I realize the flesh doesn't ever want to die, but we got to head him toward death. We got to cut him off. We got to get him out of our life so that we can build up the spirit. Paul says that our conflict will lead to this death. And what is the death of? The death is of our sinful nature. Do you realize that all of the things that you really don't like to do because you know God doesn't like them and they don't serve you well in the first place, that those things can literally die? Most of us have been convinced that you're always going to have this problem. When Debbie and I got married, everybody told me, well, you're always going to have a car payment. You're always going to have a house payment. Well, why does that have to be true? Because somebody told me that? Am I never going to be able to pay off a car? Am I never ever going to be able to get this debt off of me? Can I just tell you, in 2005, in this building, we had about $75,000. I don't know, it was maybe about $100,000 left to pay this building off. And I asked the board at that time, I said, guys, we have some funds over here. If we took this $50,000 and applied it toward it, and we just asked the church to really help us, I think we can be debt-free. We got debt-free. We don't have a payment on the church, if you will. We created some other payments. Trust me, you know, I can represent those real quick for you. You know, but now the cool thing is that we are debt-free in that area. Well, you know what? Believe it or not, and I know you don't want to believe this because your experience has told you different, you can be sin-free. Now, I'm not talking about perfect. You understand that? I'm not telling you it will disappear forever. The flesh is never truly ever going to die until we get to heaven. But you can have a much better life if you walk in the Spirit and totally tell the flesh, see ya, I got better things to do. And that's what we need to do, and most of us just don't do that. So the problem is that most of us don't want to really be what the Bible tells us is a new creation. We just want to be a better and a little bit more motivated version of ourselves. Let me take you to Romans, the 6th chapter real quick. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism in death. This is talking about our relationship with Jesus. And why did we do that? Just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. I am sick and tired of people feeling like we're always going to be defeated. We're always going to beat up. We'll never get ahead. We'll never live through this. We'll never get over the problems I've had in my life that I could time and time again. Boom, boom, boom. That's a lie. It's just the same lie as say you'll never be debt free. You'll always have a car payment. You'll always have a house payment. That doesn't have to be true unless you want it to be true. You can be free of all this thing, Paul tells us. The last thing is this. He encourages us to conform to Christ. To conform to Christ. Now, the definition loosely of conforming is to be fitted to the mold. You conform to something that is solid. It is the standard. I brought my tennis shoe because I'm into illustrations today. I'm going to tell you, I've seen this on TV. It's really cool. What they have this mold. And that mold is already set there. It's there. And they pour all of this in, and it conforms to this mold. And that's why this tennis shoe looks like this. This is the way it happened. What we try to do is we want the Holy Spirit to conform to us instead of us conform to Him. We want Him to be nice to us. We want Him to forgive us. We want Him to pat us on the back. We don't ever want Him to leave us. We want Him to be kind to us. But the Bible says that, you know, we don't wrap Him, if you will, around us, that we wrap ourselves around Him. We start thinking like the Spirit thinks. We start thinking like Jesus thinks. We start doing the things that Jesus does. Can I just tell you, all it takes is a little while. Next thing you know, those habits of Christ become your habits. The words that come out of your mouth are pleasing to God because they're motivated by your relationship with Christ. You know what that's called? It's called walking in the Spirit. If you want to lose weight today, you got to say no to something and yes to something else. You can't do both. You can't binge on the weekends. You can't decide that I'm going to cheat a little bit. You've got to say no to one thing and yes to the other. Because in reality, we are every day saying either yes or no to one or the other. We're saying yes to the Spirit, no to the flesh, or we're saying yes to the flesh and no to the Spirit. Let me take you to verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let me tell you what another version of the Bible says. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We are to walk by the Spirit. That is, we are to conform to His ways in our life. Man, it's not that difficult. We just have to be two things, motivated and give them permission. The problem is, most of us will never find the permission within ourselves. You know why? Our flesh has a pretty good idea of where we've been. Our flesh has a pretty good way of reminding us of what our track record is. Reminding of the words that we said, the things that we did. Can I just tell you, I still sometimes just remember the things that I did when I was just knucklehead when I was 17. I'm going, why can't I ever forget that? But then all of a sudden I remember, oh yeah, those are under the blood. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit reminds you of what Christ has done. The Spirit reminds you that you've been redeemed. The Spirit reminds you that even though you can remember that, God has chosen to forgive that and to forget it. How cool is that? The flesh, all He wants to tell you is how you've done bad and you're going to do bad again. You'll never make it. I'm always going to be here. You're always going to fall under my influence. I conform to the Holy Spirit, not He conforms to me. Here's the tough part. Conforming to Christ, walking in the Spirit, always, always comes down to change. The problem is this also. If we want to walk in the Spirit, then guess who makes the change? It's the Spirit doing the changing. He's the motivator. He's the one that can take us where we need to go. We try to change on our own. We try to button our lip. We go into a circumstance that says, I'm not going to say anything wrong. I'm not going to lose it. I'm going to keep my anger. I'm not going to go there on that TV. I'm not going to look at that on the internet. We say all of these things, but we're trying it in our own effort. Man, the Holy Spirit knows how to take us through that and bring us out victorious. I found this illustration. It says, perhaps we could think of it this way. It was one of those traditional yellow highway warning signs, and all it said was bump. And sure enough, 100 yards or feet away, there was a bump in the highway. And it goes on to say, that bump in the highway had been there for at least 3 years. But instead of eliminating the bump, the highway department just put up a sign warning us that the bump is in the road. You know where your bump is. The Holy Spirit knows where your bump is. You don't have to ask Him where it is. You know it. He agrees with you. But listen, instead of just putting up with the bump, why don't we just remove it? Why don't we, through the holiness and the gift of God and the blessings of God, just remove that thing and totally and completely, for once of all, put it under the blood so that's never an issue again. Everybody in here probably knows the difference between paint and stain. You see, when you want to paint something, what you do is you're covering it over. You know, a lot of times if you're going to paint something, you have to put a primer on it, and then you paint it so it's that color. Stain is very different. Stain just permeates the wood. It goes down into the grain of the wood. It goes down into the pore. That's why you can still see the grain and everything. So what do you want to do with your life? You want to paint over all of these things but never change? Or do you want the Holy Spirit to permeate your life, to become a part of your life, to fill in the grain of your life? You walk in the Spirit, man. It's an interactive moment. It's not a title. It's not an event. It's something that happens every day. Man, don't you love it when you get to talk with a good friend? Because you walk through life. I've got a good friend in Dallas. I don't see him but every 3 or 4 years. Talk to him maybe once a year. But I'm telling you, every time we get together, and you got people like this too, it's like we picked up right where we left off. That's how cool of a relationship we have. That's what it is to walk with the Spirit. There's no big gaps. You don't have to introduce yourself all over again. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit's never left you. Although we have maybe sometimes left Him. Let's quit pulling Him out of the trunk when it's raining, and let's make sure He's a constant part of our life. Would you bow your heads with me just for a second? Every dad, every man will identify with what I'm fixing to ask, but everyone in here as well. If you want your honor back, and honor is a big, big deal to dads, to men, next Sunday is Father's Day. And it's going to be an awesome day. And one of the greatest things about that is that the children are going to start thinking about their dad and their grandpa and all the things that he was. If you want your honor back, if you've lost it, if you want your character, your integrity, your reputation, if you want your life back, God is here to give it back to you. But if you want to make sure you never lose it, then leave here walking in the Spirit. If that's your condition today, you say, hey, Pastor Dave, without any interviews, without any questions, you know what, today, I need to make sure that I get rid of that bump. Instead of just making sure that I alert everybody that it's there, especially myself, I want to get rid of that. I don't want God to be a mention. I don't want to be identified with the church simply because I want Him to be a part of every part of my life. I want it to be like stain instead of paint. If that's you, just real quick, would you raise your hand and put it right back down? Amen. Who else? Who else? Hey, this is a cool deal. It's just right up and right back down. Hey, you know, we're not perfect, but one thing the Holy Spirit wants us to do is to walk toward the one who is, to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because when you start looking at other stuff, when you start letting that flesh rule and talk and tell you what to do, and if you let the flesh lead you into the conversations and the activities, then you're going to do anything but be perfect. And once again, He wins the war. Let's quit feeding the flesh and start feeding the Spirit and walking in that Spirit. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. They're going to lead us in one song, but while they're doing that, I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray your prayer. Whatever you want God to do this morning, you have come into a place called the church because this is a place where you have the opportunity for a transformation. That means a change. That means God's going to give you a new opportunity. That means the very thing that you wish you could do, but you can't find it within yourself, the Holy Spirit is committing to you today. He's come here to make you a solid commitment. I will be with you. As you walk in me, I will be with you, and I will change you, and I will make you a new person. And you will be not only a better person, you'll be a better person of than the things you do, whether it's a worker, a mom and dad, a student. I came for your benefit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray today. God, right now, will you come into our lives once again? Lord, we know who you are. We've heard about you a lot. Many of us have grown up in church. If nothing else, we've been in church long enough to where we know a lot of the answers. But today, we want to not just know the Holy Spirit, know he exists, know a little bit about him. We want to start walking in the Spirit so that we see our lives change, so that there's a newness in us. So that difference we talked about earlier that only the Holy Spirit can produce will begin showing itself in us. The people will start asking our questions, why don't you do this anymore? Why don't you say that anymore? You know, there's just something different about you. You're kinder. You're nicer. This isn't about some random act of kindness. This is about the Holy Spirit doing something like he does every day. He points us toward Christ. And I pray for everyone in this place that you will grant that prayer, Father, because they're praying it along with me. Their words versus mine, but they're praying to the same God and asking the same Holy Spirit to help us walk through this life. We ask this in the name of the perfect Son of the Lord Jesus of God. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen.